Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. Sri Yamunacharya purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Yamunacharya, a great devotee in Krishna consciousness, said,
Yadavadi mamajita Krishna pararavinde nāvavarasatāma yadyujyāramāsīt tadvadipanadadisangamesmarimāne bhavati-mukha-vikāra-sushtu-nishnīva-namcha.
Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl with distaste. A person in Brahma Yoga or Krishna consciousness is so absorbed in the loving service of the Lord that he loses his taste for material sense pleasure altogether. The highest pleasure in terms of matter is sex pleasure. The whole world is moving under its spell, and a materialist cannot work at all without this motivation. But a person engaged in Krishna consciousness can work with great vigor without sex pleasure, which he avoids. That is the test in spiritual realization. Spiritual realization and sex pleasure go ill together. A Krishna conscious person is not attracted to any kind of sense pleasure due to his being a liberated soul.
Text 22.
Translation. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, so the wise man does not delight in them. Purport. Material sense pleasures are due to the contact of the material senses, which are all temporary because the body itself is temporary. A liberated soul is not interested in anything which is temporary. Knowing well the joys of transcendental pleasures, how can a liberated soul agree to enjoy false pleasure? In the Padma Purana, it is said, Ramanti yogino nante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padena sau param brahma vidyate. The mystics derive unlimited transcendental pleasures from the Absolute Truth, and therefore, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is also known as Rama. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, 5.5.1, it is said, Nayam deho deha bhajam riloke kastan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putraka yena satvam sudyed yasmat brahma saukyam tranantam. My dear sons, there is no reason to labor very hard for sense pleasure while in this human form of life. Such pleasures are available to the stool eaters, hogs. Rather, you should undergo penances in this life by which your existence will be purified, and as a result, you will be able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss. Therefore, those who are true yogis or learned transcendentalists are not attracted by sense pleasures, which are the causes of continuous material existence. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he is entrapped by material miseries.
So, one should pray to the Lord and the Vaishnavas to kindly give the benediction that we get a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, and that we lose our taste for hearing and chanting about Maya, things
that are of this material world. Because things of this material world, they don't benefit us. Anything that we hear or contact with our senses, yehi samsparsha jaboga, dukkha yona evate, adyanta vantakontea, nateshu ramate buddha. They don't give any energy to the soul. In other words, there's no benefit, only there's loss. Why? Because Chanakya Pandit says that the most valuable thing in the world that cannot be purchased with all the gold, and that's one moment of time. If one takes a huge amount of gold and says, all right, I want to buy back the last second that went, you cannot buy it. It's gone. It's finished. No price. Other things, if the car is a nice car, you can buy it, a house, land, you can even buy positions in companies, or so many things you can buy, but time you cannot buy. Therefore, the devotee considers a moment of time wasted to be the great loss. It is said that one who's on the platform of Baba, of Yakta Kalatvam, one of the symptoms of one who's on that platform is that he uses his time. He considers a moment wasted to be great loss. We can learn from the Goswamis. They were so absorbed in devotional service that they couldn't even sleep more than an hour and a half at night. Sometimes they forgot to sleep at all. So this is it. How did they do that? Because they were actually really absorbed in every activity of devotional service. They were studying Nana Shastra Vicharanaikanipano. They were writing, they were chanting Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Premamritam Bonidi. They were Nidra Hara Vihara Kari Vijito, chanting Sankhya Purvaka Namagananti Kalavasani Kuto, chanting the rounds very attentively, and hearing the discussions. They were paying obeisances to the Vaishnavas. They were circumambulating the holy place of Raja. So, these are the activities that have eternal benefit. These are the things that vitalize the spirit soul. And material sense gratification, it doesn't vitalize, rather it drains. It's like, to use an example that we're all familiar with, an automobile. If you're trying to start the engine and you're just turning the starter and the battery, the whole engine's turning over, but it's not, what do they call it, catching? It's not turning over. It's going, but it doesn't quite start. So if you keep doing it, what happens? The battery goes down. Gradually, after some time, you have no more battery left, no more power. So in other words, if we put our time and energy into something that it will not make contact, it will not start, and we're just wasting our energy unnecessarily on that. And material things, they don't satisfy the soul, nor do they please Krishna. Any kind of material sense gratification that we indulge in, it's not pleasing to Krishna, it's not pleasing to the spiritual master. So what to do? We're conditioned. We're accustomed to always looking for sense gratification. Well, we have to change that. And how do we change that? By actually applying ourselves very enthusiastically to the activities of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu, Parasevanam. Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. This is our saving grace. Without these nine activities of devotional service, how will we be able to get a higher taste? So, the books are so important because from these transcendental literatures, we get so much stimulation for the mind and for the intelligence. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who studies this sacred conversation between Arjuna and Krishna worships the Lord by his intelligence. And preaching, the Sankirtan movement is very wonderful because it gives us an opportunity to perform activities. Imagine if we just had to sit and do meditation all the time. We wouldn't be able to do it. We're too much conditioned by ignorance and passion. Either we'd fall asleep or we'd become restless. We have to go out and do something. So Sankirtan is a perfect way to engage that. There's so many unlimited ways to engage in Sankirtan. Distributing prasadam, distributing books, preaching philosophy, cleaning the temple, building the temple, decorating the deity, taking care of Krishna's money. So many things we can do in devotional service. And those things should be our, that should become our life. That I want to become expert. One of the qualities of a devotee is daksham, becomes expert in his devotional activities. We see that all the great Vaishnavas, they're expert in performing their service, fully absorbed. Yavasayatmika buddhi ekaya kuru nandara boho shaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavasayana. Now in the beginning, there may be huge gaps in one's devotional service. He's just beginning. So in other words, he may start, do some service, go away for a few years, come back, do a little more service. Then he may stay for a while, for a few months, then leave for another 6 months, then come back again. Then he may stay and go away for a week, then come back again. Then he may serve, but then he may space out. So in other words, it gets shorter and shorter, the amount of time. If he's making advancement, even if in the beginning there's long gaps, but if he goes on trying, then the gaps will get shorter. And he'll find that instead of spacing out for a month, or a year, or a week, or a few days, he's only spacing out for a few hours. And then it's getting less and less. Instead of a few hours, it's some minutes. And then he's becoming more expert at utilizing his time, engaging his senses. To the point where the gopis, they considered the time that their eyes blinked as that, oh, this is terrible. This is Maya. This nonsense Brahma, the creator, he created eyes that blink so that we can't see Krishna. So what are we going to do during that time? How are we going to engage ourselves when we can't see Krishna? This is how they were thinking. Questions? Okay, let's go on. You have a question? Yes?
Just when we're chanting in front of the deities in Kirtan or Bhajan, sometimes we get into an internal meditative mood and we close our eyes and focus within the heart. And even though the deity is right in front of us, so it's like, well, Krishna is, it's like when you bring somebody to your home, You may be thinking of them internally, but then when they come, then you're going to be attentive. But so how does this work?
Either way, one is, of course, if one is absorbed in the kirtan, in the sound of the holy name, that's also Krishna. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna's appearance in Kali Yuga is in the form of his holy name. So, to be absorbed in the holy name, that's also Krishna, or to be absorbed in his form, or like that. Generally, if someone's in the kirtan, they're absorbed either in the chanting, or in the chanting and also the form of the Lord, both. As long as one's mood is, he wants to please the Lord. That's more important. That the mood is, I want to please the Lord by chanting, glorifying Him. He's not thinking how he'll get pleasure, but he's thinking how to give pleasure to Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, don't try to see God, but act in such a way that God will see you.
Text 23, translation. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world.
Well, this gives us some deadline. That's a good word, deadline. In this case, deadline means before you're dead, you better come to the line, get to the point. And what is that line to reach before the death comes? Tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger. So desire, kama, means lust. So how to check it? Check it means quell it. It's like a fire. What do you do when there's a fire? Get some water. Water automatically puts out fire. You don't have to speculate. You don't have to try to figure out some new method to put out fire. Just get some water. It puts it out. Similarly, if we want to get rid of lust, what to do? Bhakti. Bhakti puts out lust. Bhakti is the panacea for putting out lust. So, if there's some lust, what to do? More service. More bhakti. It means, why am I lusty? Because I'm not enough engaged in bhakti.
This is a question from North Carolina. More and more, I'm feeling less attached to material things, like sense pleasure, etc. By continuing in devotional service, will this detachment continue more and more?
Yeah, that's what's stated here, that if one continues in devotional service, gradually it'll come to nil. One will be completely detached. One won't have any interest, even to the point of Yamunacharya, Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padara vinne nava nava rasa nidhyata rantamasi tadavati patanari sangamane smaryamane bhavati mukavikara sushtuni stevanamcha. Even to the point where one will spit at the thought of sense gratification. If someone says, come on, let's go to the football game. Spits. Come on, let's go to the... there's a nice movie with some nice, you know, racy scenes, Spitz. Would you come on, let's go get a drink, Spit. Let's go get some nice food in the material world, material store, Spit. That's what it... In other words, why Spit? You may say, well, this is gross. You shouldn't be averse. You should be equal. You should be equipoised in all things. It's like sometimes you see these yogis or gurus or whatever, they like to have girls with them. They have girls. I remember one time we were at a yoga conference, and the moderator, the one who was the host, he was a swami, supposedly. But at the end, after all the programs were over, he was on stage with two girls in both arms. And he was telling us how we have to go beyond the material and beyond the spiritual, beyond the personal and into the impersonal. So this is their idea. To hold on to material attachments. But we have to give those up. And it takes... Bhakti is the only way to give them up. Impersonal meditation may work for some time, but it's not a permanent fix, as they say, because that lust, it may come back again. Yenye ravindaksha vimuktimanas vayas yenye ravindaksha vimuktimanas tayastapavad avishuddha buddha. Aruya Krishna Param Param Tata Patantito Nadrita Yushmaranga comes back. They fall down again. But the bhaktas who've learned the science, how to be fully engaged 24 hours a day, they don't have a problem with lust because they have no interest in it. The example is given, the analogy, if the cup is full of liquid, then nothing else can get in.
You said 24 hours per day engage in devotional service, fully engage. But I saw many devotees, they come in the temple, they're fully engaging devotional service 24 hours, but after year or 2 years or few years, they come back to sense gratification and very, very strong sense gratification.
Yeah, but and that means
I think better to not so much service,
less devotional service,
but
more Maya,
but longer time than
the longer time, but pace yourself. Well, we agree, but the point is, if someone is giving the appearance of being engaged 24 hours a day, and then he goes away, it means he wasn't engaged 24 hours a day. He was pretending. Pretender. Bhagavad Gita says that. The one who's, he apparently, externally, he rejects sense objects, but internally he's always thinking about them. He's not engaged in devotional service. How is it devotional service? He's always thinking about Maya. He's just thinking, oh, if I could just get that car. Oh, if I could just get that girl. Oh, if I could just eat those things. So what is that? What do they say? Home is where the heart is. So if one's heart is yearning, oh, where's that girl? So he's just waiting for the time when Maya will make a perfect arrangement. He's waiting for that opportunity when he'll be at the perfect place and the perfect girl will come and make the perfect arrangement, and then that's it. So he's just going in that direction. But he may be keeping it inside. And some people may not be able to notice. Of course, some people can tell also. So the point is, if someone's engaged 24 hours a day, no, He will not. Why will he have any interest in it? What will be very attractive about it? He's spending his whole time, 24 hours a day, understanding how it's not attractive. His intelligence is getting sharper every day. Aha! Yes, Maya. He's learning all the tricks of Maya. Ah, here's another trick of Maya. Maya tricks us in this way. Maya will trick us in this way. So he's becoming an expert. And he's getting closer to Krishna. As one gets closer to Krishna, then he's getting further away from Maya. So, it's not just the externals, the external and the internal. One has to control the mind also. Any other questions?
Continue. Purport. If one wants to make steady progress on the path of self-realization, he must try to control the forces of the material senses. There are the forces of talk, forces of anger, forces of mind, forces of the stomach, forces of the genitals, and forces of the tongue.
So this is six projects everyone should be working on. All the devotees should be working on checking these six forces. The devotional service is so complete. There's no gaps if one practices carefully. So he's thinking, alright, how will I work on my sense of talk? I don't speak nonsense. Therefore, one should be careful about associating with persons on just kind of a mundane, casual level of talking. Gramya kata na shunibe. Jagadananda Pandit, he wrote a book, and he said that. Gramikatana Shunibe, don't talk ordinary prajalpa, ordinary village talk. Be careful about that. If one wants to make spiritual advancement, be careful about eating. Be careful about wearing very fine clothes. One should not be too attached. Of course, one should not be ragged, but at the same time, it should not be too glamorous either, too attached to fine clothes. Because that means, fine clothes means I want to get, I want to win the attraction of others. So, everything has to be done in moderation. It's not that we don't eat at all, it's not that we don't wear clothes at all, although there are some who do that. Shukadeva Goswami, that's the perfection, I guess, of not wearing fine clothes. He didn't wear anything. Or the Kumaras. But we're not supposed to imitate that. Like the hippies, they also like to wear no clothes, but not for the same purpose. Shukadeva Goswami wore no clothes, so he wouldn't have to worry about all this. Why should I even bother? He just wanted to absorb himself more in devotional service, but they wear no clothes for, you know, lusty interests.
You were talking about Gramya Chitta. Sometimes Prabhupada would talk with different people. Graham Hill, the race car driver, and with once he was on an airplane, and the captain wanted to speak with him, and he came back and spoke. Yeah, it's on film. He spoke with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was very interested about Graham Hill's race car driving. He asked him about it. And also about the plane when he was talking. And then as he kind of showed that he related to the person, then he was able to focus on bring it to the point of tattva jnana, of spiritual knowledge and the purpose of life. So it may appear sometimes that Prabhupada was engaging in just common talk, but actually you always found that it would culminate in spiritual knowledge. So, comment on that?
Yes. As long as one's able to bring it back, there's an analogy. If you want to catch the fish, the big fish, but you're not supposed to get wet. So if you try to catch the fish and you get pulled into the water, then no, you failed. So, yes, you can speak a little bit because that's all connected. As long as the goal is to give them Krishna, and you actually do give them Krishna. The problem is, if you don't give them Krishna and they give you Maya, then you lose. But if you are able to turn their discussion, use it, like Prabhupada even said, he gave the example, there's, I take your pestle and mortar and I break your teeth with it. He told the scientists that you can use these words like molecules and quarks and gluons, but you should use it to defeat them. So if you utilize what they're saying or the discussion for giving them Krishna consciousness, then that's expert. Then you've turned the whole thing into transcendence. Just like butter. Is butter transcendental? No. It's just ordinary matter. Is grains, do you think that sesame seeds and barley is transcendental? No. It's just ordinary matter. But when you pour the ghee, you make butter into ghee, and you pour the grains in a fire, and you chant the mantras, and you do it properly, then it becomes transcendental.
I have a question. I notice, as people driving by me in their cars, probably half of them are on their cell phones talking away. Seems like everywhere I look, people are on their cell phones talking. So that's a machine. And obviously there's some strange energy that's drawing these people to use these machines constantly, almost in a crazy way. They just can't. You ask, can you go half a day without using your cell phone? You say, no, I couldn't possibly do that. So there's some strange thing. And should a devotee be aware of those, using these technologies when it seems like there's some power that's drawing these materialists into uncontrollable, crazy use?
We know what the power is. It's Maya. Maya is the power that's drawing. But it's not just using the machine. They like to use the machine for talking about sense gratification. That's why they like it. They like to listen to the machines making sounds because it's sense gratification. They like to use computers for sense gratification. So the sense gratification is the attractive force. And the ultimate principle is lust. Kama. The all-devouring sinful enemy. So Maya is pulling them with lust.
Where's the line drawn? Because I've seen devotees using these machines to points where, you could say it's, yes, devotional service, but then
where's
it has
to be, yes, as long as it's Krishna Sammanhe, Yukta Vairagya Muchite, if it's used in the service of Krishna, then machines are not bad. Of course, they may have some other.
Is there a fine line there?
There is a fine line. Yes, because just like if you use the car to go on Sankirtan, that's transcendental. You go out, but if you use the car to go to the movies, it's Maya. If you use the cell phone to talk, to tell people about Krishna, to help them come to devotional service, or to do some service for Krishna, that's transcendental. But if you use the phone to call a girl for sense gratification, that's Maya. Now, you may say, well, those are two gross things, but the point is, it has to be for the pleasure of Krishna, and it has to be authorized by the Vaishnavas, by Shastra. So therefore, it's very important that we confirm that we're progressing, that we're on the right track, that we're not wasting our time, that we're not getting into Maya.
A question from me. Sometimes, well, my understanding is that like the only way we're going to defeat Maya and the control it has over people with these different machines that he's describing is by utilizing them in Krishna's service, because everyone else is utilizing them for the wrong thing. So when we dovetail it in Krishna's service, then helpful.
We can use them or not use them. Where a devotee is not attached, he'll do whatever is favorable for the discharge of devotional service. Prabhupada actually gave us both formulas. He also gave us the formula, go off and live in the country and don't use any of these things. And show by example how you can be happy and blissful just by depending upon the land, the cows, and Krishna. So that's also a way to win, to spread Krishna consciousness, by showing that we don't need these things at all. But there's also the cities. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to preach in the city. So both things are there. Either way, one is inclined. If one is inclined to live in cities, then he has to preach. Then we have to preach. And it's not that everyone has to use machines under all circumstances. One may have a particular service that's not so much involved in machines. Let's say a pujari. He doesn't have to worry about very many machines. He's cooking and cleaning and offering clothes to the deities and offering aarti. It's not very many machines he has to be involved with. Book distribution involves some machines. Generally we have to have some conveyance, some vehicle to get us out there. And of course we're using books that are produced by big machines and transported by big machines, and it's difficult to avoid machines. But we don't have any aversion to machines, because it's just material energy that can be transformed back into spiritual energy by Krishna consciousness.
So my question really quick is, sometimes in the attempt to use these things, we find that they're so difficult to manage. So how do we address that?
Shishi Gorni Tai Ki Jai! Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai!
We'd like to thank everyone from around the world for attending the evening Bhagavad Gita class at the Rupanuga Vedic College. Everyone is invited to take part in our 3-month introductory course in applied Vedic culture.